All we really have are the promises of God. Everything around us seems to fall short of fulfilling sometimes what we want, sometimes even those deepest desires in our heart, even the good things that we strive for. We all recognize one day it's all going to fall short. One day we'll find it isn't quite enough to fulfill us. We fall short when we rely on ourselves only, thinking that we are the only one we can depend on. And we realize at some point, even you and I, we fall short. All we really have are the promises of God. And in Christ, those promises are all yes and amen. I invite you to say that with me. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. So as I'm preaching today, if you want to shout out, yes, amen, go for it. That's all right. In 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22, the apostle writes, "For no matter how many promises God has made," and we understand God has made many promises in Scripture. As we read through, we can pick them out. But, you know, God has promised that he will be with us. He will not leave us, will not forsake us, that we will be forgiven when we confess our sins. The Scripture says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God's promises are for sure. He writes, all the promises God has made, they are yes, say yes,
yes,
in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen.
Amen. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So here's the big idea for you today. This is the takeaway from this message. What we're going to try to wrap our minds around it is this. God's promises are forever. God's promises last for eternity. And we can trust that these promises are yes and amen because they are unchangeable. Now, Chris kind of spoke into our experience at Moose where, you know, it seemed like unchangeable may not be the greatest thing when it comes to stinky t-shirts or dirty clothes after 3 days. We get that, right? There are times when you want things to change for certain, for sure. But when it comes to God's promises, we recognize that those are unchangeable. They are reliable because of the one who has made them. He is unchangeable. They are all yes and amen in Jesus. No matter what's going on around us, no matter how difficult things get in your life, and they do get difficult, you can trust God's promises in Christ because Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ never changes. So God is unchangeable. God's promises are certain. They are forever. And we have a deposit guaranteeing, reminding us, the Holy Spirit living in us, convicts us, convinces us that these things are true. So have you ever heard someone say, "I'll believe it when I see it"? Will my wife Cheryl ever ride the wild thing at Valley Fair? I'll believe it when I see it. Will it ever stop raining in Wheaton? I'll believe it when I see it. Can Jesus change even my toughest friends? Well, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Absolutely. But there's a problem with that. When we treat our faith as, "I'll believe it when I see it," we're probably not going to see it. Because that's not how faith works. And here's the next thing I want you to write down if you're taking notes or to take a mental note here in your head. It's the invisibility of the promise. That God's promises are not always that evident in front of us. We don't always see them, at least not right away. We just heard that all God's promises are fulfilled in Christ, but we don't often see that. Sometimes we have to believe it. For example, most of students and parents know that come September, school is starting, right? Yay! I Unless you live in graceful Clinton Beardsley, then you hope that construction will be done and maybe in September school will start. Sometimes we don't even know what's right around the corner. You know, we may think something's coming, but we really don't know. And it's in these times when the future seems most uncertain that you and I really need to trust in the promises of God. That trust is called faith. And faith, the Bible says, is confidence in what we hope for. It is assurance about what we do not yet see. So confidence, assurance that what we know to be true is true, even though we don't necessarily see it. The writer of Hebrews sees faith as that trust in God that enables you and I, as a believer, to press on, to keep going forward, to keep moving through when things get tough. So the writer knows that God can be relied upon completely. If God says it, it's true. Because God's promises don't change, because God is faithful. And faith in the promise maker, God, keeps us going. Many of you have met my sister from Belize. She was here staying with us for the last 3 weeks. She lives down in Belize in Punta Gorda, and she's been here sharing with her ministry partners about the work that God is doing through that ministry down there. She's been hard at work building on what she believes is the promises that God has given her to extend her tent stakes out of Scripture. One aspect of that means building a home on a multi-acre piece of land that the Lord, she believes, has promised to her. So after 30 years in Belize and several years building on this project, what keeps her going? What keeps her believing in those promises that God has given her? Well, she's already experienced some of God's provision, some of God's work already at hand. He has provided a beautiful piece of land, and then after it was already delivered, he extended that even more. More was added to it. She has been seeing provision for building in the last couple of years, things that she cannot do on her own, that she has to be completely reliant on God for through others. And she has seen the foundation be laid down. She's seen the walls begin to go up. She's seen the second level of walls go up and all the plumbing put in. And pretty soon it'll be time to put a roof on. Yet she hasn't received all of what has been promised yet. And she can't do it on her own. I was thinking to myself, like, why don't you just get a loan and finish the house? Because it doesn't work that way in Belize. So what she does is believe and then share that blessing of what she believes God has shown about the land and the ministry center that'll be there. And that keeps her going in this calling that God has given her to the people in Belize. She shares a vision for providing a permanent home for her adopted son living with disabilities, a foundation and legacy for a generation of children, referenced out of that Isaiah passage that talks about the treasures of darkness being rescued and raised up as an inheritance in the land. Through the ministries that God has directed her, she envisions extending space for healing where broken families and people can come, find healing, find wholeness, be empowered, and set out to receive all the promises that God has for them and for the people in that land. So ultimately, it's a promise for God's people to be recipients of the inheritance that he has planned from the very beginning of time, the gracious welcome into the family of God, into the kingdom of heaven. So Susan knows that in the end, all we really have are the promises of God. Everything else falls short. At Moose this week, students were immersed, I think, in a thread of that promise when they heard again and again that you are enough. At Moose, God's promises to them were made real, and they recognized they're already secured for them by faith. For each of you, those promises are secured by faith. You don't have to try to be good enough. You don't have to try to be smart enough. You don't have to try to be pretty enough or popular enough. You already are enough, and God loves you right now. You know, as I was getting ready to come preach this morning and, you know, telling everybody you're all supposed to wear your T-shirts, and I thought, you know, I don't look good in a T-shirt. I stick out a little bit too much, and, you know, I'm preaching. It's not going to look good. So I put a collar on and then put a T-shirt on. But you know, and then I'm up here preaching, you are enough. So this is it. You get, you know, I'm enough. That promise, right, is written in Scripture that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life, eternal life. While still sinners, Christ died for us. So what does it take to experience that love? What does it take to experience all that God has promised? The answer is really simple. It's short. It's faith. Faith. Trust in the promise maker who made the promise. Does it matter right now if I see God to know that he loves me? No. The promise is made. It is real. It is active right now by faith. You know, the invisible qualities of God's promise don't diminish its reality. That's where faith comes. The writer in Hebrews 11, he takes some of those Old Testament, Katie said, Hall of Faith people, those believers, and shows that faith motivated them to keep moving forward when those promises just were not seen, when it seemed difficult. That's what kept them going. Hebrews 11:2 says they were commended for acting on their faith when they couldn't see the promise. It says, this is what the ancients were commended for. Scripture says, faith is the assurance of what we do not see. We take a lot of things by faith. When we went to bed, when you went to bed last night, did you plan on getting up this morning? I actually talked to one of the Moose students and said, no, I'm sleeping till noon, so all right, well, I mean, later today, did you plan on getting up? Yeah, you know, we take that by faith, right? That we're actually going to wake up in the morning. We expect gravity to be under our feet when our, you know, we expect our feet to hit the floor when we get out of bed, not, you know, the ceiling. So we don't see it, but we trust it. Kind of a simple idea, but it's a foundational principle, and it's pretty important if we're going to trust God. The Bible says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Let me read that again. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. You know, the first words in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, says, in the beginning, God. We can go on from there, but in the beginning, God. God existed. God was. Nothing else. And God created all the elements out of his spoken word, spoke them into existence, out of nothing. That's where it all begins, the creator. He didn't exist, then it spoke, it did exist. It didn't exist, then it did. So God's promises are spoken by God. We find them in God's word. God inspired the prophets and the writers of the Bible to record them. Your Bible's full of them. And from the very beginning, God's people are distinguished by one simple thing. You as the church, you're distinguished by one simple thing, and that is your faith. You believe God. And here's that principle that motivates you to act on your faith. You won't necessarily see what God is bringing into action. You won't always know what's going to happen, even sometimes right around the corner. The actions of God aren't visible until they take place, but not seeing it doesn't diminish the promise, so you act on faith, by faith. Confidence is what we hope for, and assurance of what we do not yet see. When we started talking about Moose last spring for our junior high students, we started by faith, evidence of things hoped for, that we'd have a bunch of students that would come experience God in an amazing, marvelous way. I saw that work in the past through other kids. I got to celebrate this summer my grandson being baptized, and he spoke about that particular event being a mark of his faith, a life-changing event for him. So by faith, we continue to invite kids and ask kids, and we ask, what will God do this year? You know, he promised that the harvest is plentiful. And we trust that that actually means right here in our own communities. So a few people got signed up, and Cheryl and those kids kept reaching out. And more kids signed up, and we ended up with, how many, Cheryl? 15 kids from Breckenridge all the way down to Clinton. And we hit the road for the Moose event. And why are we so excited about Moose? Because we know that God is faithful. God is faithful at Moose. So it was a big deal. Top-notch leaders from all over the conference, including our former Pastor Greg, and others, leaders from the Evangelical Covenant Church showed up because they know the impact of Moose. You know, kids, for all kinds of reasons, come to Moose, but the one thing they do experience is the promises of God made in some ways real and tangible in new ways. And so kids are invited to recognize even a call in ministry more and more, and I believe some kids will respond. So we know that God's promises are received by faith. So we take a look at the Old Testament people who are known for faith. They trusted God's promises. They believed God at his word. So it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So Abraham is commended for going by faith, even though he didn't know what was ahead. But he did something besides just believing. He did something by saying, yeah, God, I hear you. I know. What did Abraham do? He went. He went by faith. He went to where God called. He acted on what God says. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. He obeyed. And sometimes when we obey God, sometimes when we take that step of faith, it's going to feel very strange. In fact, the scripture says here that Abraham felt like a stranger in that land. It says, like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who are heirs with him of the same promise. You know, when we don't yet see what God is doing, and yet we act by faith and take that step, people around us are going to look at are going to look at you and say, what are you doing? That is crazy. How do I know that? Because that's what I said to my sister. That's crazy. Some of you are, maybe already have been called by God to take steps of faith. You know what God has promised. You know that God has called. And you know some of those things that God is inviting you to step into. And yet you don't see where that is leading. You don't know the outcome yet. But you know God is calling. And it's going to take a step of what? It's going to take a step of faith. And sometimes when you take that step of faith, even though you begin walking that way, it's still not going to be visible. And people are going to look at you like, what are you doing? What's going to keep you going? What's going to keep you going in those times when it feels like you're all alone, nobody gets it? God said, I'm obedient. What's going to keep you going? Faith. Evidence of things hoped for. Trusting God's promises. For he was looking, Abraham was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. He was looking for something more than he could do on his own. He was looking for all that God had promised him. He was taking a step by faith. And by faith, it says, even Sarah, who is past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. I think Sarah, Abraham gets all the credit, but I appreciate Sarah here. I can just see her, you know, God has promised that you're going to have children. They're way up there in age, and she looks over at Abraham, and she thinks to herself, this promise is as good as dead. But it didn't seem impossible to her. Because she believed, she trusted that what God promised would happen. And so the scripture says, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants. Babies. You know, what do you think her friends said when Sarah kept talking about this inheritance that she's going to have? And they're looking at her like, I'm not sure, Sarah. Maybe you should just give it up and move on. But she didn't. So what does God say? What is God's promise? You know, as I read this passage, I think to myself, maybe you've had the same question. Why would God wait so long to give Abraham and Sarah a child? I mean, they were almost 100 years old. Why would that take so long? Why didn't God give them when they were young, when they could run around with their kids? Why did he wait? Do you know? I think it's truly because God wanted to show them it wasn't them. It was him. It was God. All we really have are the promises of God. And so from this one man, Scripture says, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as countless as the sand on the seashore. You may not see the promise, but that doesn't mean it is not real. It takes faith. So I'm going to wrap up here. All we have are the promises of God, and God is faithful. At Moose, God showed up just as he promises. The scripture in Psalm 22:3 says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." In an amazing way, God is present and experienced as we worship and praise. And to see 500 kids, piling down to the front stage, worshiping and raising hands and praising God and experiencing that joy and excitement and enthusiasm of all that was happening there, I think that's like reminding them, you are more than enough. You're accepted just as you are. They learn. They don't have to be good enough to earn God's love. You don't have to be smart enough. You don't have to be pretty enough. You don't have to be good at sports to earn God's love. You're not too bad that God won't love you. You don't have to get all cleaned up and get your life figured out to hear and respond to God's call. You can say yes to God right now because you are enough. You can trust and believe in God's promises. The message that the students heard is that God's promises for each one of us, that God created you, that you are his masterpiece. You are a one-of-a-kind work of art. God made you. Scripture says he created human beings and says it is very good. That's where we begin, in the heart of God, God's great, good creation. And God carefully crafted and gifted you and gave you a unique personality to shine in the world, and he calls you to do that. You're good enough right now to receive God's promise of forgiveness, to be loved and accepted and empowered as a child of God. The truth is, you are really enough. And you can accept by faith that when you confess your sins, he is faithful. He forgives you. You're set free to be who God made you to be. Not to be who you want to be who God made you to be, and to bring glory to him. So this weekend, in an environment of great fun, 500 kids were on a discipleship journey together, and they experienced of evidence of things hoped for, certainty of things not yet seen. And I believe they all came home equipped in some new way. We have a solid group of kids, really, really great, great group of kids. I'm super excited about what God is doing in and through this next generation. It is quite amazing, and I think that they all know that they are enough and that Jesus accepts them, has called them, has saved them. And one of our kids made a first-time ever commitment to trust in Jesus Christ this weekend. And now that kid is confident that for all eternity he is received by God. He has received the promises by faith. He is forgiven and free, a beautiful, redeemed child of God. So we can celebrate with him and God right now. Yahoo! Woo! If you're online, I want to make sure that you heard this. One, two, three. Scripture says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Our God loves us, loves you. It's already done. You are more than enough for God, and his promises are all you need to press on. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you call us to you. Lord, that you created us to be with you, and that you promise you will never leave us and never forsake us. Lord, you promise that when we call on your name, we are saved for all eternity. Lord, that you have prepared a place for us, that you are returning to come to get us, to take us to where you are. Lord, that we will forever experience joy in the presence of you and all the faithful in the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we believe it. We trust it by faith. Help us, Lord, to act upon that confidence, that assurance that your promises are for us and they are for certain. And Lord, as we act on those promises, give us courage and confidence and boldness, Lord, to be those you have called us to be, to love you and to love others as you love us. And as we do, Lord, may all know that we are your disciples. And we give you the praise. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all God's people say, amen. Let us